Hello.
I stepped on a particularly crunchy leaf, but stuff still happened.
So what's up?
I'm louvering it. Last week, right as I had finished up doing the episode of Stuff Keeps Happening, I learned that the heist of the century took place in France. Imagine my distress, me not talking about the heist that just happened. Dear listener, when I tell you that it was one of the hardest days of my life, when I made the decision to be patient and wait until this episode, it was not actually all that hard. I just decided to be patient. But this episode, we're going to dive into what happened at the Louvre. The Louvre. Louvre. Fair warning. Despite having taken like 8 years of French, I never actually developed a capable French accent. I'm going to be saying the Louvre, and it's going to suck. But I'd rather say that than Louvre, which I don't like that. And I'm bad at the guttural R. I don't know. Here we go. First up, the hall. So the Louvre has a bunch of important shit, including like crown jewels from former French royalty. The kind of stuff that you target on a heist to the Louvre. And that's what they did. They targeted that. They stole 8 pieces of the crown jewels of France. They were going for 9, but they dropped one. According to Interpol, they made off with a smattering of earrings, necklaces, tiaras, and a brooch. They would have had a crown if they didn't drop it. That was one that they dropped. Apparently, it was damaged when they were taking it out of the display case, and then they dropped it and just moved on. In total, the haul is valued at about 88 million euros, or a little over $100 million. Let's talk about the crew. It was 4 dudes. 4 guys. Really, 2 guys doing the brunt of the work, but 4 guys that we're aware of. 2 doing the B&E, 2 doing the getaway, the GOA, the G&A. God, now I want to watch Snatch. It's a good movie. At time of writing, at least 1 dude is in custody. French authorities claim that they got some suspect who was trying to flee the country. They may have others, but they're being very cautious with actually revealing any information. Best I can tell, there's 2 people in custody that are suspects. Not like we got them. We don't know. Could be anyone. Could be a fall guy. Could be my plan worked. What? The timeline. There are 2 sort of distinct moments in this heist, about a week prior to the actual break-in and then the break-in itself. A week prior to showing up at the Louvre, they went to a town also called Louvre and they stole a like service utility vehicle. You know, one of those like cherry pickers, like the mechanical lifts on the back of a truck. They basically went to a company and they were like, give us that. We're taking it. So that's part 1. Part 2. Is 2 of the guys roll up in the vehicle with high-vis vests behind the loop. They just rolled up onto the sidewalk and were just like, we're just gonna put this utility vehicle here. They then used a ladder on the vehicle, climbed up onto a balcony, and broke through a window. The car pulled up at 9:30 a.m. The window was broken at 9:34. They left the Louvre at 9:38. They were in there for 4 minutes, during which time they used glass cutters to cut holes in the display cases and get the stuff out of there. 9:36 is when the police were first informed of anything happening. A security person at the Louvre pressed the button that's like the call the popo button. But at that point, they had 2 minutes to do anything about this, at which point the thieves got out. They went down the ladder, tossed their supplies, and met up with their getaway drivers who were on scooters that went zoom. And they just kind of peaced out. When I say scooters, I don't mean like Razor scooters. That would probably be the only way this would be more rad. How? Like how? How did this happen? Let's talk about the security situation. First of all, there wasn't a camera where they broke into the museum. There just wasn't. There's just a balcony next to a very shatterable window next to the Louvre. And there was no camera there whatsoever. Security didn't even know what was going on until, 4 minutes into their plan. No one stopped them from just putting a cherry picker next to a museum for no reason. It's the kind of thing that usually somebody's like, hey, what are you here for? It's just the perimeter of one of the most famous museums housing some of the most expensive things known to man. Why would we be cautious? Additionally, they use the glass cutty thingies because apparently the glass enclosures were bulletproof, but not cut proof. They were installed when bullets was the biggest thing they were trying to defend against and never upgraded. Now, it seems like that's a pretty major lapse in security for something like this. And that's correct. It is. They've been understaffed and underfunded for a long time. Weird how that doesn't matter till it does. But there could be another angle here. And I want to take this with a grain of salt because this is coming from authorities who have a lot to lose if this looks bad, which it does. But investigators in the case have stated that there is digital forensic evidence that this may have been an inside job. It could be that the information about the lapses in security were given to the thieves by a security guard at the museum. That'd be so convenient. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't the chronic underfunding. It wasn't not taking anything seriously and not actually caring about the security. It was an inside job. No one could have stopped this. Anyway, what's the fallout of this? Not a ton, aside from like, France is pretty embarrassed right now. It doesn't look good for the French government, but also the French government doesn't need a whole lot more to not look good right now. Authorities in France are trying to project strength and claim that they're going to get the guys and they're going to bring back everything that was stolen in one piece. One piece! But that's pretty unlikely. Like, crime analysts say that this is the kind of thing that you break them down into components, you melt down the metals, you get all the gems out, you send them to a bunch of different places, get them all cut, and it's basically untraceable. That's what I should be doing. Anyway, the world woke up and saw that like four dudes just absolutely owned France and stole some crown jewels that had questionable origins, most likely worn by royals and such. I don't know. Feels a little heartwarming. Just a nice change of pace. Dear listener, did you know that I stream? I stream twice a week. You should go to it. You can find my streams on Twitch, on YouTube, or at live.endeavorance.tv every Wednesday and Friday starting at 11 a.m. U.S. East. All of the stream recordings are then posted to my YouTube channel. There's also an archive on YouTube of older streams. I've been doing this for a while, so plenty of content. Check me out. Come hang out. It's me and my dog, and we have a good time. Cool. Anyway, what else is going on? Snap is getting snapped. Thanos would be proud. The US government is still shut down, and as we roll over into the month of November, the USDA has now announced that SNAP benefits will not be paid out for the month of November. For context, SNAP is also known as food stamps. It's food assistance programs in the US. It helps people who can't reliably get food, get food. And 42 million Americans depend on it. That is about 12% of the US population that depends on food assistance programs. Because we're poor and hungry. Anyway, the USDA is supposed to pay out funds to states so that states can help people get food and so on and so forth. And the Fed is no longer going to be doing that because the USDA has said, quote, "The well has run dry." I'm not kidding when I say that the USDA posted this on their website in giant letters, thinking that this is a winning message. Quote, "Senate Democrats have now voted 12 times to not fund the food stamp program, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Bottom line, the well has run dry. At this time, there will be no benefits issued on November 1st. We are approaching an inflection point for Senate Democrats. They can continue to hold out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures, or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive critical nutrition assistance," end quote. I always love it when the people who are in charge of giving out food assistance use the withholding of food assistance and the struggles of those who won't get that food assistance as a political chip against the people that they're trying to blame for not giving out the food assistance that's totally in their control. Anyway. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has said no more benefits, which means that states are now just going to have to figure out what the fuck to do. So it's going to be a state-by-state thing, and you should look up your state and what's going to happen with your food benefits if that's something you depend on. What's maddening is that the USDA put out a statement saying that they would use existing emergency funds to help ensure that people still get their benefits a month ago. That statement has been removed from their website, and now they're trying to claim that those funds are not, quote, legally available to them. Essentially, there are multiple multi-year funds that the USDA can use to fill in gaps in spending for emergency situations such as this. They had fully intended to do that a month ago, but they changed their mind. Nationally, legal scholars are like, it is insane to claim that the USDA can't use these funds. A whole bunch of states have also called out the Fed, being like, what in the fuck? This is going to cause a lot of people to go hungry. It's really fucking gross. And if this is something you depend on and this is adding to your stress, I'm very, very sorry for the situation that you're finding yourself in. It's not your fault that these people have riled up a base that need constant red meat to stay focused, and they're using you as that red meat. The only solace is that hunger is a universal language. And it doesn't matter who you voted for. That vote is not going to give you the food you need. Anyway, what else? Oh, on the topic of intentionally hurting our own citizens. Earlier this year in Western Maryland, there was torrential downpour that caused near record flooding and created an absolute disaster scenario in Garrett and Allegheny counties. Historic flooding tore through towns as a river raised to near record levels in 6 hours. The state of Maryland applied for federal disaster relief from FEMA, which is the US's federal disaster relief agency. And that relief was denied. Over and over again, for months, FEMA had assessed the damage in the area to be $33.7 million worth of damage. That is 3 times the requirement for the state of Maryland to apply for that federal funding. So while FEMA acknowledged the disaster was well within the requirements, the Trump administration still repeatedly refused aid, presumably because Maryland is a blue state. Right next to Maryland, in fact, like interlocked with the same counties that were affected in Maryland, is West Virginia. In June, West Virginia saw a similar disaster, and they got their relief funding in July. West Virginia is a red state. For international viewers, a blue versus red state in the US means which way it went for the presidential election. So, like, a red state went for Trump, a blue state went for Kamala Harris. Trump famously is withholding as much as he can from blue states as retaliation. What's really sad here is that the counties affected in Maryland, Garrett and Allegheny County, swung for Trump 70-30. Garrett actually more like 75-25. So in doing this, in punishing a blue state, he's actually just punishing millions of people who voted for him. And I'm not saying this as a ha-ha, they got what they voted for kind of dig. It's just sad. It's the same thing as when a disaster hits Florida or Texas and people cheer because there's a lot of Republicans there or they swing red. Like, no, that's gross. Even with that logic, if you take Garrett and Allegheny County, that means that 25 and 30% of the people living there didn't vote for this. They did, quote, the right thing with their vote. No one deserves this. We're held hostage by a fucked up system. And watching the federal government pick and choose which citizens are worth saving based on where they fall geographically in the country is fucked. So hey, maybe use disaster relief to relieve disaster for your citizens who voted for you. I truly don't give a shit who you voted for. If your house is swept away by a river, I think you should get some help from the government. And they're, you know, helping people having disasters agency. Speaking of disasters, let's talk about Amazon Web Services. You probably were impacted by this. This past week, Amazon Web Services had a major outage in their US East 1 sector. AWS is Amazon Web Services. It is a giant cloud service provider that corporations can basically rent servers and services from to build their apps. There was a major DNS issue that took down a large chunk of AWS for 15 hours. Instead of getting super technical about what happened, I'm going to use a bit of a metaphor because you would leave this video if I actually started explaining what happened. Imagine, if you will, a restaurant, and this restaurant has 3 different receptionists. It's a high-end restaurant, and at the start of the night, management gives the receptionists a seating plan. Receptionists A, B, and C all got the seating plan for that night, but receptionist A went out for a smoke break. While he was out on that smoke break, B and C got a revised seating plan from management. They're like, we're gonna do this instead. And so A comes back from their smoke break, and they see that there's a different seating plan on the desk than the one that they were given, and they're like, that must be an old one. I'm gonna toss this aside and put mine here instead. And then they started to try to seat people, and it was a fucking disaster. That's basically what happened. There's a system that's supposed to route data to places, and that system got tripped up, didn't know which places to send people to because of a timing error, and oopsie daisy, all of my apps. If you're wondering specifically, it was a DNS issue with DynamoDB. And that, if you know what those words mean, you know why it was catastrophic. So it took about 15 hours, during which time basically half the internet dissolved. Worldwide outages affecting dozens of countries. Untold billions of dollars likely lost. Always good. We love a good Amazon outage. This happens not infrequently. It happens infrequently, but not infrequently enough. Lightning round. Prince Andrew's gonna stop using the Duke of York title, largely because of the whole he's a pedophile thing. One of the guys in that leaked Young Republicans chat with all the racism, turns out he was a Vermont state senator and has since resigned. The US is continuing to bomb boats off the coast of Venezuela, despite providing zero evidence that they're narco-terrorists, as this administration keeps claiming. Speaking of blatant corruption, Trump pardoned the founder of Binance, which is a crypto company that has deep ties to Trump's crypto schemes. The CEO of the company had previously pled guilty to facilitating money laundering. And finally for today, after an angry word from his estate, OpenAI has made it so that you can't generate AI videos of Martin Luther King Jr. on Sora anymore. Or at least they're trying to do that. What a bad idea. I'm referring to computers when I'm saying that. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a great deal on various gemstones and precious metals. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.